Welcome to the Gila Members Community Radio show, Earth Matters. Earth Matters brings you in-depth coverage of local, state, and national environmental issues. We aim to inform, challenge, engage, and inspire our listeners. Three hosts alternate weekly shows to bring the listener a broad range of topics and expertise. I'll be your host for today's show, Donna Stevens. I'm the director of the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance. The Upper Gila Watershed Alliance, or UGWA as we're known, is a watershed protection nonprofit group that's been around for almost 20 years. We work to protect the Gila River and its tributaries and the Gila National Forest through advocacy and by doing restoration projects. Today's show is about recycling in Grant County, and my guests are Terry Timmy and Amy Hart. They are both members of the Recycling Advisory Committee. Welcome to Earth Matters, Amy and Terry.
Thank you, Donna.
Thank you.
I'm glad to have you here. So I wanted to start today's show by asking a really basic question. Why is recycling important?
Well, there's several reasons. Let's start with a huge money-saving issue, which is saving landfill space. The landfill that we have is separated by cells, they call them, and as we get ready to use the next cell, it then has to be prepared, which is a huge undertaking. They have to be lined, and it's about $250,000 to line and to get a new cell ready. Everybody says, well, it's expensive. Well, how expensive? And that's not even including if you have to then eventually find new landfill land. So it's hugely important to save the landfill space. It saves money in so many other ways because instead of using new natural resources, a lot of the recycling is also reused in many ways. It reduces greenhouse gas emissions because everything's not packed into the landfill, making pollution. And it creates jobs.
So I wanted to ask you, you talked about the landfill cells, and that brings to mind a question about when the current landfill is expected to be filled. And you're talking about how they have individual cells that they develop and then we then put garbage in them. And I wonder if we are on target with their original plan or if the cells are being filled faster than they expected.
Probably not faster than expected. It varies yearly as to how much trash goes in there. But the current estimate is that there's at least 21 years left in the landfill. And right now they're using cells 7 and 8, so that means there are four more that can be used in the future.
Okay. Can you tell me how many county residents participate in the curbside recycling and what percentage of the town residents that represents?
Yes. Well, there's only curbside recycling for the town of Silver City. The surrounding towns have to use their bins that are put around town there or bring their materials to the landfill. So there are about 5,000 residences in Silver City where curbside recycling is available, and of those, about 1,000 residences, 1,000 recycle on a regular basis.
Wow, what are those other 4,000 people doing?
they're the ones we're trying to get the word out to, that how easy recycling is and that it is, not a big deal to get a recycling bin. It's free. It doesn't cost anything.
And all they have to do is put it out on their curbside, right? No special trips.
Right. Same day as trash service. You just put it, beside your trash can, and a crew from Southwest Solid Waste will pick it up and take it to the recycling center.
So is that one of the things that the recycling committee does? You try to get the word out at different events and stuff that people could recycle?
Absolutely. That's one of our main missions is to try and promote recycling, and not just in Silver City, but in all of Grant County. And the Recycling Advisory Committee is made up of, originally started off with just Silver City residents, but we've expanded it so we have county residents can be a member of it also.
Okay. They just don't get curbside pickup.
Right, they don't get curbside pickup.
But for the people who are in town, it's so easy. It's as easy as putting out your trash, right?
Exactly,
And when the trucks get to the landfill with all of the solid waste they've picked up for the day, does anybody go through that trash to see if there's recyclables in it?
No, that's a process that has been used in a few locations using what are called material recovery facilities, MRFs. And most of the material recovery facilities in the country are called clean MRFs, in that what they take in is just clean recyclable material. Mm-hmm. There is another category called dirty MRFs, and those take in trash and try and sort it into the parts that are recyclable. And of municipal solid waste trash, about 50% of it is potentially recyclable, depending on, you know, the location. Some places may have more, some a little less. About 30% of it is compostable, so green waste and food waste that could be composted. And then, you know, maybe, you know, 10 to 20 or 30% is really just garbage that there's no way to recycle it. But of that 50%, say, that's potentially recyclable in municipal solid waste, the dirty MRFs have a recovery rate of maybe 10 or 20% of that that they can get out that is actually resellable as a recycling commodity, because a lot of it gets contaminated with, okay, you know, food waste, and if it's paper, it's not easy to recycle if it's wet, so yeah, a lot of it ends up getting thrown away anyway.
Okay. Gosh, I had no idea that 50% of the waste is potentially recyclable, so it really, that's all the more reason that people really separate their junk. I mean, I had a friend many years ago who came over to my house and went through my trash under my kitchen sink and said, Donna, what are you doing? I mean, I even was recycling, but I guess I wasn't doing that great of a job. He bawled me out.
And I think that's part of the problem, and one of the other mission that we have as a recycling advisory committee is to get the word out about what can be recycled.
Yeah.
Because there's, you know, over the years it changes, and so, you know, what we're trying to do now is make sure that everybody knows that what we have in Silver City is called single stream recycling.
What does that mean, Terry?
Well, Amy, I think, is prepared to answer that.
It basically means that you don't have to sort your recyclables, that you put it all in your curbside bin, and if you live in the county and need to bring it to town, it's the same when you go to the landfill. You don't have to have everything pre-sorted. The only thing they put in a separate place is glass, and even at curbside, we take the glass out, we separate the glass from our bin and put it next to it in a little bag or just next to it so that it doesn't break all over the recycling and make things more difficult. So everything that you can recycle just goes in one bin, and it is just the simplest thing.
What kinds of materials can be recycled?
Well, all sorts of paper. Paperboard, chipboard, junk mail, milk and juice cartons, plastics, really everything except for styrofoam and pizza boxes, which I guess they just don't take because they're always contaminated.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Not because the thing itself can't.
Grease tends to be one of the biggest problems for the paper mills that handle cardboard and other papers, and so they just uniformly reject pizza boxes because they're almost always contaminated with grease.
Okay. So, Amy, you said plastic. So are we talking plastic bottles, plastic bags?
Not plastic bags so much, though. Those can be recycled as long as they're clean at the grocery stores, Walmart and Albertsons. Also, I neglected to say, obviously, metal cans and aluminum, and even small electronics. You don't have to save those for e-waste day or bring them to the landfill. You can put a toaster right in your bin.
A toaster? Just died recently. It never occurred to me I could recycle it.
That's right. Any small electronics can go right in the bin. So it really has just gotten so easy to do.
Let me clarify, too, about plastic bags.
Okay.
Plastic bags can be put in the recycling bin, but we actually prefer that that people take them to Albertsons or Walmart, just because they create such a mess. I mean, plastic bags tend to blow out of the truck when it's going to the landfill, or, you know, when they're, you know, trying to get them, you know, sorted. at the landfill that, you know, they blow around. So it creates a real mess. So,
yeah.
So the drop-off boxes at Albertsons and Walmart and Food Basket are actually a better way to recycle them, because they also not just, you know, it's not just a regular grocery bags that they take, but they take all sorts of plastics, like, you know, the plastic coverings over on toilet paper and all those kind of things. That can all go in there, so it's a great way to recycle those. And for us, you know, we do send plastic bags that we get at the recycling center to Tucson Clean MRF that we use. And it's interesting, there they have a, on their sorting lines, they have little vacuums tubes up above the sorting line that just sucks the bags up. But even that, they say, you know, creates a lot of problems. So they prefer that people not recycle the plastic bags there. It's better to do it at the grocery stores.
Okay. What do the grocery stores do with them?
There's been a lot of speculation that they ended up just throwing them away, but they don't. They actually have them go back on the trucks that bring their supplies. So all the grocery stores now recycle cardboard and plastic bags, and Walmart does a lot of other things too. And what they do is, you know, they'll collect them, and that when the trucks come in to deliver goods, they send back these various recyclable commodities that have a value in the marketplace. So they do make money off of them.
Oh, well, I had no idea. And it's really good that the trucks don't go back empty,
right,
because that's a total waste of, you know, carbon footprint for nothing. So I'm glad I asked you that question, because I always see those bins at the grocery stores, and I just never knew what they did with any of that stuff. And don't some of the stores also have their own balers? Like, doesn't Walmart have their own baler to bale, I don't know, cardboard? Or
yes, most of the larger stores do have their own balers for cardboard and programs with their distributors to take it back again on the empty trucks. So we're glad that they do that, but we also wish that we at Southwest Solid Waste that they could get the cardboard too. So, you know, because it is a cardboard is a very profitable recycling commodity. It's going for over $100 a ton right now.
Wow. So is that one of the ways that the recycling program supports itself, by selling some of these materials?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's not a totally self-sufficient program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it does, you know, there are some commodities we don't get very much money from. So all of the single stream recycling, you know, we're lucky now that we get, you know, about $15 a ton from it. But some of the other commodities on the open market, like cardboard, are pretty valuable right now. Mm-hmm. Some of them, it's difficult to get a fair market value here in Silver City because we're so far out of the way.
Right.
The recycling industry has become so specialized that the commodity broker, you know, there are some that just handle type 2 plastic or some that handle only type 1 plastic. And so for us to generate enough here to make it worth their while is really impossible. So it's better to send it to someplace like Tucson, where it's combined with, you know, a lot of other recycling, and they get, you know, a full truckload worth of just type 1 plastic in a week's period of time.
Yeah.
And it would take over a year for Silver City to do that.
Right. I mean, we are pretty far off the beaten path here, but I mean, that's one of the charms of Silver
City,
right? I mean,
absolutely.
That's why we're here. But that also means that these things have to be transported, all these materials have to be transported a long way. And so, like you said, the program isn't completely self-sufficient, but it seems like, from what you were saying at the beginning, Amy, that it's so expensive to develop a new cell that it's really worth it for the county to subsidize the recycling program, because in the end we do save money.
Yes, absolutely. And we do keep the cardboard that we do get both from curbside and from the local stores that we pick up from. Well, Southwest Solid Waste picks up from. The cardboard is separated and we sell that directly.
Okay. Well, stay with us, folks. We'll be right back after a break. Welcome back to Earth Matters, the Gila Members Community Radio Show that brings you in-depth coverage of local, state, and national environmental issues. I'm your host for today's show, Donna Stevens, and my guests, if you're just joining us, are Amy Hart and Terry Timmy of the Recycling Advisory Committee. Amy, I wanted to follow up with the question that we were talking about before the break about plastics. And I've lived here a long time, and I remember that in the early days of recycling here, you could only recycle plastic bottles that said number one or number two on the bottom. And I wonder what we're recycling these days.
Right. Well, it's come a long way. Now you can recycle number one, two, four, five, seven, which is basically all the plastic containers except styrofoam that are used for food or anything that's not hazardous. And the reason that it's changed is because there's more companies finding out how to use recycled materials. And so then they suddenly have a value, and it's worth it for companies to pull them out and sell them to those entities.
What do they do with plastic, like those numbers, 1, 2, 4, 5, 7? What do they actually do with that stuff?
Actually, a lot of times they get sorted. For example, when we send stuff to Tucson, they have optical sorters. So they have a conveyor belt with the plastics going down it, and then a laser detects what type of plastic it is, and then a little stream of air blows it to a different conveyor belt, and it goes and gets, like, all the type 1 plastics will get sorted and get baled, and then they'll do that also for the type 2s, and then everything else is just a mixed plastic that's left over.
Really? And so it isn't a person just standing there going, oh, I think this is a 3.
Yeah, no, that was part of the problem in the past why they would limit it to just 1 and 2 plastics, is because it is hard to tell just looking at them. I mean, you see this little recycling symbol on there if you look close, but if you have the recycling going down a conveyor belt, and the one in Tucson operates at 25 tons of recycling going down the belt every hour.
Wow.
And for one person or even a handful of people to look at each little bottle and figure out what it is would be impossible.
No kidding.
But now that, you know, with high-tech sorting equipment, it's easy to sort it into the various components. The other interesting thing about the different types of plastics, it used to be people would say you need to take the lids off of plastic bottles because they are different types of plastics. So like a regular water bottle, which is type 1 or PET, usually has a polypropylene lid on it, which is type 5. But it's not a problem anymore with the advances that have been made in the recycling processors. What they do with the type 1 plastic bottles, they'll shred them and they'll put them in, you know, through a washing process. And then just by the different density of type 1 versus type 5, they can sort, you know, them out and get a fairly clean stream of just PET or just polypropylene.
Wow. So it's even easier than ever to recycle. So those 4,000 people in Silver City who aren't recycling don't really even have an excuse, because it sounds as easy as throwing it in the garbage.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just, you know, you throw it in your recycling bin versus a trash can.
Yeah.
You know?
That's right.
So what do they make? Do they just remake the same types of items? Like you have a yogurt, you throw away your yogurt container, do they turn it into another yogurt container? Or
some cases they are, but typically not. It's usually what's called downcycled, just because it, you know, as you melt it and reform it into different products, it doesn't have the ideal characteristics a lot of times.
Okay.
So, you know, a lot of times it'll be converted into other types of products, like plastic bottles are always converted into carpet. A lot of carpet is polyethylene. A lot of that is made from plastic bottles that are recycled. Ski jackets, you know, the filling in those is made out of recycled material. So there's a lot of reuse in terms of making other products. Mm-hmm. I think Amy had a few other examples she was going to talk about.
Well, right, the number one, like I have socks that are made out of plastic, used to be plastic bottles, and you can find lots of things like that. And then things that you don't see as much start with other numbers of plastic, like for the low density polyethylene, becomes the plastic lumber and trash cans and potting containers and bags at the grocery store. And then these days you see decks being made out of product that's not wood,
right.
All sorts of things like that. They last for many, many years, and they're made out of these plastics.
Yeah.
So it just puts it to great use. And then you're talking about also not cutting down the forests,
right.
Which is a whole nother.
Plus it doesn't rot like mm-hmm. so many
you
woods
don't have to
do.
Right. You don't have to have the care.
They're low maintenance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about the markets for other types of products, like glass, for instance?
Glass is a real problem to recycle. It's very heavy, and so transportation costs make it difficult to get it to in markets. It's also a problem that most of the glass melting facilities, you know, to melt down glass and make more glass out of it, have closed up that are in this area. So they're thousands of miles away to the nearest glass smelter. And so what we've done with glass locally has been fortunate in that we've made an arrangement with Turner Brothers Construction, and all of the glass that gets taken to the landfill or from the curbside bins is now taken to that facility, and they crush it when they're mixing it with gravel to use as road base. So it's all getting used on county roads.
Wow, that sounds like a great use of it, and that means less kind of dynamiting our hills and,
mm-hmm.
you know, expanding quarries and that kind of stuff to get more rock and gravel. And it sounds like a really great use,
it
just
is.
To use this stuff that's essentially garbage
mm-hmm.
and make it into something that isn't garbage.
Yep. Then a couple of other things that are immensely recyclable are metal cans, tin cans. You know,
uh-huh.
they get melted down, you know, they get sent to steel mills where they're mixed with all the other ingredients to just make more steel products. And aluminum cans have a tremendous recyclability. The, you know, an aluminum can typically that's recycled gets made into a new aluminum can within about 30 days. You know, the market is, you know, such that they're easily recycled.
Yeah.
And it saves tremendous amounts because to extract bauxite to get the raw ingredients to make more aluminum is no longer occurring in the United States. It all has to be imported. So, you know, it's much better to be recycling it than importing raw materials from overseas.
Really? We don't mine bauxite here anymore?
Not anymore. No,
is that because it's too expensive or there isn't very much?
I think that there is not very many mines left that have enough bauxite to make it worthwhile.
Wow. So in order for us to get aluminum, we have to recycle what we already have, or that's the most cost-effective way anyway?
And any raw materials that you're talking about importing, even though we don't have the best laws for the environmental effects of that, you have no idea what the other countries have.
Right.
And we sort of act like, well, it didn't happen here.
Right.
But we're all breathing the same air and drinking the water
right.
and all. So when we're importing all these things, we don't know under what conditions the workers have worked or the environmental effects of the
yeah.
mining itself.
And ultimately, what's bad for other people is bad for us, too.
Yes.
Getting back to a few other things, what we know about what happens to things that get recycled impacts, you know, how we handle it here. And so, like I said, metal cans get melted down and made into new steel. So that means that when you recycle a metal can, a tin can, you don't even have to take the labels off. That was something, you know, that people mm-hmm. used to say, oh, I got to take the label off this and everything, and you don't have to. It gets burned, and so it's
okay.
You know, easy to recycle just a can with its label on it. The only thing that is good is just to rinse cans or bottles out so that, you know, there's not a lot of food residue in them.
Well, that's what I was just going to ask you, if you should rinse out your cans. Do people have to crush them or just give it a little rinse and throw it in your recycling
right.
bin?
Uh-huh. They don't need yeah. to do anything other
yeah.
than, you know, make sure it's not too dirty.
Right. Is there any difference between what kinds of materials can be, what types of materials are picked up at people's curbsides or what they can recycle at the landfill, or is that all pretty much the same?
Well, it's become very much the same unless you have large items, like you can bring old appliances to the landfill. And obviously you can't put them in your bin.
Right.
And hazardous waste, where or oil, you know, motor oil or paint or other things like that you can bring to the landfill, and you can't put that in your single stream because it'll contaminate everything. But at this point, most things that you use on an everyday basis can just go in the bin.
Okay. I was at the landfill not too long ago, and we talked about this a little bit earlier with the problem that plastic bags are, and they were kind of blowing all over the place. And sometimes the landfill, I mean, let's face it, it is a bunch of garbage, but but it can be unpleasant sometimes how dirty it gets. And I know that years ago, my husband actually had a short-term job where he was in charge of the landfill. And it's a pretty windy sight out there, the Grant County landfill. And there was these plastic bags stuck all over the catclaw and the mesquite trees out there. And he actually spent a fair amount of his day every day. He actually enjoyed being outside and, you know, picking these plastic bags off the shrubs. And if there were ever any kids who had to serve community service time or something, that's another thing he would have them do. And I wondered if there's anyone who takes care of that now, if that's anybody's job out there at the landfill.
Actually, the people of the landfill are very conscientious about trying to reduce, you know, all the waste blowing down. And part of being a modern, what's called sanitary landfill, involves every day, you know, after all of the trash is delivered, they have to cover it with at least 6 inches of clean dirt or a thing that they spray on that keeps it from blowing around. So at least, you know, they do try and contain it as much as possible. And then they also have installed large fences to collect stuff, so it, you know, tries to collect it just there right by the landfill rather than blowing all the way out, you know, over to the airport even. So.
Right. Yeah, I have seen those big fences there. I mean, obviously we don't expect the landfill to look like a park or anything, but you know, it could be a somewhat pleasant experience to go there and bring your recycling and your solid waste if it was a little bit cleaner.
Yeah. And, you know, the recycling committee is aware of that, and we do engage in regular conversations with the people at the landfill, and you know, I'm very impressed with their dedication. They do, you know, the best job they can to maintain the cleanliness and also to make it as convenient as possible for people.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk to you some more about some of these other issues with recycling after we'll come back right after a break. Welcome back to Earth Matters, the show that brings you coverage of local, state, and national environmental issues. I'm your host for today's show, Donna Stevens, director of the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance. And if you are just joining us, my guests for today are Terry Timmy and Amy Hart of Grant County's Recycling Advisory Committee. So I have actually learned a whole lot already in this show. The information that I've had on recycling is several years old, and I understand that there's really a lot of new development. So I just wanted to ask you guys first, one of the criticisms that I've heard of the recycling program is that plastic bottles were being driven out of town, like just put into the truck. They weren't baled, so they were mostly air. They're very lightweight, and so but they have a lot of volume, so they would fill the truck up fairly quickly. And it was kind of an inefficient way to transport our recyclables to another town for sorting. But I understand that that has changed recently. Can you guys talk about that?
Yes. Very fortunate in that Silver City received a grant from the New Mexico Recycling Coalition at the beginning of 2012. And the grant was for about $195,000. And that paid for some remodeling of the recycling center and putting in a brand new baler that is fully automated, so that it makes it quite easy now to bale everything that goes out of the recycling center. In the past, we had all of our single stream going to El Paso, just in a truck loose. And like you said, you know, you have all these bottles full of air. And so it took up a lot of room. And at that time, we were using Friedman Brothers Recycling in El Paso. And we'd make almost a trip a day taking the recycled materials that are collected mm-hmm. from Silver City and Grant County down to El Paso. Once we got the baler in place and working, which it was installed and started baling single stream in this last September, we were able to reduce the number of trips by over twofold. Uh-huh. So we can bale everything and squeeze all the air out. And you know, the nice thing about this new baler is it automatically ties, you know, wire around it to mm-hmm. hold it in place. Then we just load it into the same trucks that we were using. And then it gets taken to El Paso. And then just within the past 3 months, we've actually switched where we're sending our recycling to and sending it to Tucson instead of El Paso. And the main reason for doing that was that the MRF, which I mentioned before, is a material recovery facility in Tucson, is set up to do a phenomenal job of sorting things. And because they're much more efficient, they're able to pay us for our recycled materials. Whereas when we were taking it to El Paso, we were having to pay them. So we're now making money off all of the single stream recycling that we take to Tucson.
And that was all made possible by the baler that we got the grant for?
The baler made it possible to make it more efficient on our end. We could still take things to Tucson if it was loose.
Yeah.
Because that's how they normally get in all of their materials at their MRF, is all the, you know, they have trash trucks that collect recycling from all of Tucson.
Right.
And then they just dump it out onto a floor. You know, it gets compacted a little bit, you know, in the compactor trucks, but it's basically loose. So when we take it to them, they have to cut the bales and open and then load it into their processing facility.
And that's all automated? That's sorting the different kinds of plastic and stuff in Tucson?
It's mostly automated. There
okay.
are 22 employees in the facility,
mm-hmm.
some of which are support, and some of them work on the line to pick obvious items of trash out, but a lot of it is, you know, different forms of sorters that will jiggle things to sort them into different sizes and shapes, and then,
wow.
as I was mentioning earlier, the optical sorter that can detect, you know, different types of plastics. So
uh-huh.
it's a very high-tech facility that can do 25 tons of recycling every hour.
Yeah. So I guess it doesn't really pay to do it hand sorting using people when it's so much more cost effective to do it in this high tech way.
Absolutely. The other issue with doing it manually is just the health and safety of the people doing it.
Yeah.
Despite our best efforts to get the word out of what can be recycled, there's still sometimes things that come on the recycling stream that could potentially be hazardous
yeah.
to the people trying to sort it by hand.
Right.
So
let me get this straight. You're saying that we used to pay to bring our recycling to El Paso, and now we bring the recycling to Tucson, and they are paying us.
Yes.
Sounds like a pretty good deal.
It is a great deal, and because of the baler, we can get so much more in the trucks.
Yeah.
Even though Tucson is a little further, it more than makes up for the difference.
Right.
Just
wow.
this last 3 months of data that we have for when the baler has been working, we know that we've saved almost 4,000 miles of driving versus when we were doing the single stream unbaled.
That's
so,
great. And we're talking about 4,000 miles of driving with a big truck, not like a Prius or something. So really bad gas mileage.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right. Right, so the labor and the wear and tear on the vehicle and the mileage, everything about it is much improved.
Yeah, well, that's great. I think that's very encouraging. I had no idea such great things were going on with recycling locally, so I think it's really great that you guys are working on this issue.
And a lot of it is made possible, like the baler was made possible by the ERA grants, the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act,
The stimulus funding?
The stimulus funding from Obama's first administration.
Yeah.
There were a number of grants, era funding, that went to various organizations in the community, one of which was led to the creation of the other place that I work, which is the Office of Sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
We received just under $500,000 in era funding to do energy efficient upgrades in the community. We went into over 850 homes to do energy upgrades. We also improved the lighting and made other energy efficient improvements in various buildings around the county. So era funding, has been a very big benefit to Silver City.
Yeah.
There was also a large amount of era funding that went to the New Mexico Recycling Coalition.
Mm-hmm.
And they put in some new recycling centers around the state, and then had a little bit of money left over that they were able to then have another competitive round of grant applications. And Silver City was successful in applying for funding to get the baler and a few other things that really have made the operations of the recycling center that much more efficient.
That's great. So it's all kind of federal funding, your tax dollars at work doing something good instead of doing something bad,
mm-hmm.
and working for the common good. And
that's
so
right.
Despite all the people who really don't like the federal government very much in this area, they're really doing some good things with that money, and it's benefiting even the people who don't like the feds. So, okay, I'll get off my soapbox here. I know that for the last couple of years, the Earth Day events in Silver City have included an e-waste or electronic waste event, and those trucks got absolutely completely filled up with stuff that people were recycling. And I wonder if you guys could talk about the e-waste a little bit.
Well, you're right. The event has been really, really successful, and now you can bring all of that material directly to the landfill,
mm-hmm.
At any time that the landfill is open. So we're saying most anything battery operated or with an electrical cord.
Okay.
If you can single stream the small items, and if you have more or bigger items, bring them to the landfill. We have a special place for them, and then as the containers get filled, they'll get shipped out. We still do the e-waste event at the Earth Day, but it probably won't look as big, and that's why it's not that people aren't recycling. It's that now they don't have to save their stuff for the whole year.
Yeah.
Is it great for businesses as well? Because if they have a bunch of old computers, they don't have to store them for months. They can just get them to the landfill at any time.
So anything that has a battery or anything that has a cord is pretty much considered e-waste? Like you mentioned earlier, toaster. It never occurred to me that was e-waste.
Technically, it's not electronic.
Okay.
But the organization that we use to process our e-waste does handle everything, that has any electrical component to it.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to back up just a little bit to give some credit for the e-waste event. We did our first one 3 years ago, contracting it with a company in Albuquerque to come down and basically sort of do everything for us. But 2 years ago, Chuck Fuller, who was at that time the chairman of the recycling committee, contacted a company called Unicor, which is a Federal Prison Industries. And they have a facility in Tucson at the federal penitentiary there that is set up to do electronic waste recycling. Since we started that program 2 years ago with Unicor, we've continued operating with them because we had that good track record with them. They also were willing to set up the recycling of e-waste at the landfill on an ongoing year-round basis. So it's been to our advantage working with Unicor. They've been great to work with, and we feel real confident in their ability to safely recycle e-waste. I'm sure some people have seen, programs of, computers going to China and Africa where, you see little kids melting and, down. And it's not, none of that happens with the e-waste that goes to Unicor. It's all processed at Tucson, and then, different components are then, sent to processors in the United States.
So we ship things all year long to Unicor, like a whole truck of e-waste goes over there at a certain point, and then it all gets recycled.
Whenever we accumulate enough to send to them. Right now, when we're doing the e-waste event at Earth Day, we were using 40 cubic yard roll-off containers.
Uh-huh.
Now out at the landfill, what we're doing is collecting it in what are called Gaylord boxes, which are just big cardboard boxes, you know, 4 foot square and about 3 feet high. And then, you know, when we get about 25 to 30 of those, Unicor sends a truck up to pick them up and takes it back to their facility.
Well, I'm glad to know that e-waste is being recycled in a safe manner because, yes, I'm one of the people who has seen those photos of little kids just no protection whatsoever taking apart these toxic components, and it's very disturbing.
Mm. Right.
And so I'm glad that's not what is happening to our e-waste.
Right. And because Unicor operates at very high standards, they have basically a zero landfill policy. So everything that they take in has to be recycled.
Huh.
And that has created a little dilemma in that there are a few things that they don't want to take from us for our e-waste. And that is just strictly any old style console, TV, or stereo. Just because they don't have an outlet for the wood cabinets.
Oh.
You know, if people want to take the electronic components out of that, they can do that and recycle that, but we can't take those and put them in with our stream to the Unicor facility.
So those are pretty old kinds of appliances you're talking about here.
Yeah. But at Earth Day, you know, it's amazing what sort of things you see coming in that are from 70s, 80s.
Really?
You know, people have had them in their garage. And, you know, I think it's great. You know, we have this ability now that, you know, you can safely dispose of all those things.
So, like, maybe old speakers? Would that be something you should not, that they can't handle?
If it's
handle?
A wooden cabinet, if it's plastic, it's
But you
okay.
can take out the components and recycle those.
Absolutely.
Okay.
The other interesting thing about computers is there's a lot of concern about the safety of your information on computers.
Okay. Hold that thought, Terry. We'll talk about that some more. That sounds like a long topic.
Yeah.
So stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Earth Matters. I'm your host for today's show, Donna Stevens, and my guests are Amy Hart and Terry Timmy of the Recycling Advisory Committee, and we are talking about recycling here in Grant County. So just before the break, Terry, you started to talk about something that sounded really interesting. It was about e-waste and people recycling their computers and being concerned about privacy issues. So can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. The data that's on your computer is potentially at risk, you know, through people stealing, you know, any information you have on your computers. And what we did is make sure that the company we use, Unicor, uses the highest standards to erase any information off of computers. So they have guidelines set up by the Department of Justice to wipe every information that's on your hard disk off of it. So once it goes to them, you don't need to worry about any personal private information that was on your computer. Another source of potential privacy issues involves cell phones, which are also recyclable through Unicor at the landfill. Or even a better way to recycle your cell phones is to drop them off at cellular connection. We have recycling boxes set up there, and we donate the cell phones that come in there to El Refugio. And then they either use them for women that come into the shelter or sell them to make money off of them. But with cell phones, again, security can be an issue. So make sure that you inactivate your plan that cell phone was on, and you might even want to erase your address book. If you have people in there, you want to make sure that their phone numbers don't get out.
Okay, so that's good to know, that it's safe to recycle those items and people don't have to just throw their old laptop in the trash because they don't want to be compromised. I wanted to ask a little bit about the structure of the decision-making process on the landfill and recycling, because I know you guys are the Recycling Advisory Committee, but are you in charge? Who do you report to? How does that work?
That's an excellent question, because I think there is a lot of confusion. Who does the trash, who does the recycling, all this. And operations of the landfill are overseen by Southwest Solid Waste Authority. And that's a government agency. And that is operated by a board of directors. It's made up of representatives from the local governments. So there are two members from the Silver City town, and there are two members from Grant County, and then there are members from Baird and Hurley and so forth. And they ensure that the landfill operations, which includes recycling, are operating according to a budget and, meeting standards that are dictated on them by the New Mexico Environment Department. So they have the authority over all of the operations. And the operations out at the landfill on a daily basis are handled by Danny LaGarada. And he oversees the landfill side of operations, as well as helping out with the operations of the recycling center. And the recycling center is actually operated by a supervisor named Tommy Ogas. And he has been an inspiration for those of us on the Recycling Advisory Committee, because he is just such a go-getter and really enthused about recycling. And it's just rewarding to see, the energy that he brings to the process, and it extends to all of his employees. So it's great to see him doing such a great job for recycling in the community.
That's really encouraging, because I know there have been some problems with the recycling program in the past. So I'm glad we really have somebody now who's really believes in the mission and is really going for it.
Right, and Tommy's also so excited about the aspects of making it a financially sustainable project. And whenever he hears about the opportunity to make more money with his recyclables, he follows up.
Yeah.
And so he just is really inspirational, and he also goes to various schools and is glad to spread the information in any way he can.
Good. So is it the goal of the recycling program to become self-sufficient, or is that not realistic?
It's probably not realistic. We always strive to be as fiscally responsible as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But the commodities market, there's no way of establishing a way to know how much money you're going to make in a given year.
Yeah.
Prices fluctuate dramatically. Just in the past, say, year, price for cardboard has gone from $50 a ton to over $100 a ton. Mm-hmm. So you can't really budget for,
right,
how much you're going to be able to make based on that.
Yeah.
Wanted to step back just a little bit and talk about trash also, solid waste, and who handles that. And if you live in the city limits, it's handled by Public Works for the town of Silver City. And then if you're in the county, there are various trash collection agencies that handle that. Well, interestingly, in the town of Silver City, the town is very progressive in that it was the first in the state to adopt what's called pay-as-you-throw, in that people throw away the amount of trash they throw away. They pay the amount based on the size of their container. So they get charged different amounts for the different size containers that they have for trash. And that helps encourage recycling. But, I think there's a lot more that could be going on in the community to get more recycling by everybody in the community.
So people are paying more for trash that they throw away, but they are not paying any more for recycling.
Right. Recycling is free. It doesn't cost anything to recycle.
Right.
And you can get a recycling bin anytime just by calling Southwest Solid Waste. Their number is 388-8051.
So if you're typically not filling up your trash can, call and get a smaller trash can and you'll pay less every month.
Oh, very good. I wanted to ask you, Amy, a little bit about what people who are interested in recycling, what they can do to help advance the cause, and besides recycling, of course. Is there anything else people can do?
Well, peer pressure is a wonderful thing. So if you look down your block on trash day and yours is the only recycling bin out, you might, in a friendly way, start talking to your neighbors about how simple it is to get a trash recycling bin if they don't have one, and how simple it is to recycle if they do have a bin and just aren't using it. That's really a great way, is start talking to people, and it's also a great way to get to know your neighbors.
Right.
You can also get the actual brochure, and I've also done this, just walk down the street and handed out the little brochure that says what you can recycle, and just let people know how easy it's become to recycle in single stream. So talking about it is really a great way. And that will also, you know, the more people can take the initiative themselves, the less rules we'll have to have about how expensive it is to dump your trash. You know, well, other means won't have to be enforced if we can encourage our friends and neighbors to recycle.
It seems like telling people about the pay-as-you-throw and that they're paying for more garbage, but they're not paying anything for recycling. I didn't know it worked like that. I don't live in the city limits. That sounds like a great incentive. Even if you don't care about recycling, you want to save money.
Right, absolutely. And eventually, it will get more expensive to pay-as-you-throw, so that there'll be more of a fiscal impact. But one way we can avoid that is to just be more voluntary about it.
Right. Can you guys tell us, just kind of run through your list of exactly what things are recyclable? I mean, I know we've touched on this a little bit, but I think it's still kind of confusing what all can be recycled.
Sure. Well, we have all sorts of paperboard, like, and chipboard, like cereal boxes, soda boxes, anything your frozen food comes in, that kind of box. The plastics, 1, 2, 4, 5, and 7. Which are most plastic containers that don't have hazardous waste except for styrofoam, aluminum and metal cans, milk and juice cartons, all sorts of junk mail, including the envelopes with windows, and small electronics. Really, anything with a cord that's not hazardous that can be thrown, you know, that will fit in your bin. And Terry can tell you the website where you can also look for the specifics.
Yes, we have a guide with pictures on it that show all of the things that can be recycled. And there's one on the Town of Silver City website, which is townofsilvercity.org, and also on the Grant County website, which is grantcountynm.com. And then we also have a Facebook page, Silver City Recycles. So there's a lot of information on the web, and there's also recycling guides available at Silver City Town Hall at 101 West Broadway. Or you can also get it from my office, the Office of Sustainability, which is 1106 North Pope, the former Shamrock gas station.
Very good.
For more information, you can also call Southwest Solid Waste Authority, and their number again is 388-8051.
And people can call them to get free recycling bins?
And get the free bins from them also.
Very good. Well, it sounds like you guys are doing everything you can to make recycling as easy and painless as possible and to save people money to boot. So it really behooves all of our citizens to recycle.
It's so easy, and you know, it does so much good for everyone, the environment and everybody in the community to recycle. So
right.
We just want everybody to know how easy it is.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for being my guest on today's show. I had no idea I was going to learn so much about recycling. I kind of thought I already knew about it, but I learned all kinds of stuff that I just did not know at all. So thank you very much, Terry and Amy, for being here, and join us next time for the next Earth Matters show.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for inviting us.